Chapter 23, The Stone. The great sea serpent carried the dragon and his friends over the Arabian Sea for 2 days and 2 nights. She did not fear daylight because she was not afraid of human beings, but at Firedrake's request, she steered a course through the sea where no ship ever sailed. Her scaly back was so broad that Firedrake could sleep on it, while Sorrel tucked into her provisions and Ben stretched his legs. When the sea was calm, the serpent glided over the water as if it were a green glass mirror. But if the waves surged rough and high, she raised the coils of her body so far into the air that not a drop of spray splashed into the faces of her 4 passengers. Sorrel overcame her seasickness by eating the delicious leaves she had picked in the valley where the genie lived. Firedrake slept almost all through their sea voyage, but Ben spent most of his time sitting behind the high crest on the sea serpent's head, listening to her sing-song voice as she told him about all the creatures hidden from him by the waters of the sea. He was spellbound by her tales of mermaids, ship-haunting sprites, 8-armed krakens, royal mermen and singing giant rays, luminous fish and coral gnomes, shark-faced demons, and the children of the sea who ride on whales. Ben was so captivated by the sea serpent's stories that he forgot about Twigleg in his backpack. The homunculus crouched among Ben's things with his heart thudding, listening to the sound of Sorrel smacking her lips and the soft hiss of the great serpent's voice, and wondering with every breath he drew where his master might be. Had Nettlebrand really gone off to the desert? Was he still stuck among the dunes? Had he realized yet that Twigleg had fooled him, or was he still searching for Firedrake's tracks in the hot sand? Twigleg's head was aching, ready to burst with all these questions, but worse, much worse. He was tormented by the sound that came to his keen ears on the second day of their voyage with the sea serpent. It was the hoarse croaking of a raven. Strange and menacing, that sound rang through the roaring of the waves, drowned out the hissing of the serpent, and made Twigleg's heart thump frantically. Cautiously, he crawled a little way out of the backpack, which was still hanging from one of Firedrake's spines. The dragon was breathing peacefully, fast asleep. High above them in the blue sky where the sun blazed, a black bird was circling among white seagulls. Twigleg withdrew his head until only his nose emerged from the coarse fabric of the backpack. Much as Twigleg wanted to think so, that wasn't just any old raven who had lost his way and had been carried by the wind to this part of the world. No, it certainly wasn't. If only the gigantic serpent would simply rear up and lick it out of the sky with her tongue, like a frog catching a fly. But the serpent didn't so much as glance at the sky.
"I must think of a good story for Nettlebrand," thought Twigleg. "A very good story. Think of something," he told himself. "Think of something. Think, 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 think. Why can't you think?"
The mannequin was not the only one to notice the raven. Darkness had hidden the black bird during the night, but Sorrel couldn't miss him against the blue sky, and soon she was sure that he was following them. Carefully keeping her balance, she made her way along the serpent's body to Ben, who was sitting in the shade of the creature's shimmering crest and listening to a tale of 2 warring mermaid queens.
"Have you seen it?"
Sorrel asked him with some agitation. The sea serpent turned her head in surprise, and Ben reluctantly made himself emerge from the underwater realm into which her stories carried him.
"Seen what?" he asked, watching a shoal of dolphins cross the serpent's path.
"The raven, of course," hissed Sorrel. "Look up there. Don't you see it?"
"You're right," he said in surprise. "It really is a raven."
"It's following us," growled Sorrel. "It's been following us for quite some time, I'm sure it has. All through this voyage, I've had the feeling that one of those beaky creatures was after us. I'm beginning to think that there was something in what that white rat said about someone sending out those ravens as scouts. Suppose the golden monster's behind it? Suppose the ravens are his spies?"
"Well, I don't know," Ben narrowed his eyes. Sounds a bit far-fetched.
And what about the birds that covered the moon? Asked Sorrel. In the old days, when the dragons were trying to escape the monster, those were ravens, weren't they, serpent?
The sea serpent nodded and swam more slowly. Blackbirds with red eyes, she hissed. They're still sometimes seen on the coast to this day.
Hear that?
Sorrel bit her lip angrily.
Ugh, moly morels. If only I had a stone to throw, I'd soon send that black feathery thing packing.
I have a stone, said Ben.
In my backpack, in the bag, with the scale. The mountain dwarfs gave it to me, but it's only a little one.
Never mind.
Sorrel jumped up and made her way along the serpent's back to Fire Drake.
But how are we going to throw a stone so high? Asked Ben when she returned with his backpack.
Sorrel only chuckled. She rummaged around in Ben's backpack until she found the bag. It really was a small stone, not much bigger than a bird's egg.
Here!
Alarmed, Twigleg put his sharp nose over the top of the backpack.
What are you going to do with that stone, Furface?
Get rid of a raven.
Sorrel spat on it a couple of times. Rubbed her saliva on it and spat again. Ben looked at her, baffled.
Better not, whispered Twigleg from the backpack. Ravens don't take kindly that sort of thing.
Don't they indeed?
Sorrel shrugged her shoulders and tossed the stone playfully from paw to paw.
No, honestly, they don't.
Twigleg's voice was so shrill that Firedrake raised his head and Ben looked at the homunculus in surprise. Even the sea serpent turned her head to them.
Ravens, faltered Twigleg. Ravens bear a grudge. They're vengeful birds, the ones I know, anyway.
Sorrel looked at him suspiciously. You know a lot of ravens, do you?
Twigleg jumped nervously. No, not really, he stammered. But I've heard people say that sort of thing.
Sorrel just shook her head scornfully and glanced up at the sky. The raven had come closer and was circling lower and lower. Ben could see its small eyes quite clearly.
Look, Sorrel, he said in surprise. That raven has red eyes.
Red eyes. Well, well.
Sorrel weighed up the little stone in her paw one last time.
I really don't like this at all. No, that bird must go.
Like lightning, she took aim and hurled the stone into the sky. It flew straight as an arrow to the raven, struck its right wing, and remained stuck to the feathers like a burr.
Calling angrily, ah!
The blackbird fluttered about, beating its wings violently and lurching around in the sky as if he had lost all sense of direction.
There, said Sorrel, pleased. That'll keep him occupied for a while.
Ben watched incredulously as the raven pecked more and more frantically at its wing and finally flew unsteadily away. Before long, he was a mere speck in the distance. Sorrel chuckled.
Brownie spit. Nothing like it,
she said, going back to have a nap in the shade of the dragon. The sea serpent lowered her neck into the cool water again, and Ben settled down close to her crest to listen to more of her stories. But Twigleg crouched low in Ben's backpack, his face as white as chalk, as he thought despairingly that the raven, too, knew exactly how to summon their master.